All right. I apologize that took a little bit longer, but we just needed some to have a brief consultation with council just to figure out what we need to be doing and make sure that everything was correct. So, I think what we would like to do now is kind of basically what we're considering is whether or not to adopt the committee's recommendation. I think an acknowledgement of the fact that there have been quite a bit of concerns over the noise and how disruptive it is and whatnot. I think it may not be it may be advisable to add into this recommendation a recommendation to the full SEC to consider a rulemaking adjustment which could even involve modification to the limits as they are, addressing the time issue and whatnot. And so I don't know if anybody else has thoughts on what exactly how we want to make if we want to make a change to these recommendations and what that would involve. That's my thought process at this point. I don't know if either of the two of you have anything to add to that.
Mr. Chair, I agree with what you just said, and I will vote for these recommendations as long as that caveat is in there because of the testimony of Ms. Howard and any others. So it should go to the full committee and with that caveat.
Do you have anything you would like to add, John?
Postulating. Well, the committee is charged with determining what the rule says. And the plain language of the rule doesn't have a time standard set to it. I think that's pretty clear in my mind. There is a requirement that we follow ANSI standards. And I think we're making a leap that since the in our charts for recommendation 3 for sound emissions shall be measured using LAQ over time period, and that's at least 5 minutes. And I think that's a little bit of a leap for this committee. We've seen the full SEC change the ANSI standards once they deliberate on it. And I'm somewhat perplexed between moving forward with some standard, recommendation from this subcommittee as a compliance standard that we've recommended them to the full committee to approve, deliberate on, or change the rule versus giving them no recommendation whatsoever and not having a compliance standard that could enforce. And at some point in the interim before another rule making to establish a clear and present time period would be established. So that's kind of where I am. Do I throw it back to the full committee and how long that would take? Or do we say our best recommendation is the 5 minute time period, because we could surmise that from an ANSI standard. And I've been a regulator for 42 years and have this waste program, and I enforce rules and I write rules that are clearly written that we know what they say and the public knows what they say. Facility knows what they say, and we enforce those. It's hard to enforce a rule based on a summation of what the ANSI standard could apply for a compliance period. I just find that unfair and reasonable to all parties. And I would recommend that we don't make a recommendation on the time period, but put it back to the full committee for rulemaking. and also say that if they recharge us with another mission and force us to come up with a time period, then that's when I would feel comfortable with making a recommendation. But short of that, I will vote for bullet one, bullet two, and a change of bullet three to say that it's unclear as to what that time period is, and we'd recommend that to be sent to the full committee for further consideration.
To be clear, the bullets you're talking about are on page 23 of the draft recommendation. It's the third bullet. Correct?
Yes,
yes.
Paragraph 77, bullet 3.
Yep, he said yes.
But to me, if we send it on to the full committee with this recommendation, the full committee is going to take a good look at that and also hear testimony such as we've just heard, and they can make a decision as a full committee as to whether that should be taken out or not.
I think it would be beneficial to provide at least our interpretation of what the ANSI standard says to the full committee, just because they're going to be trying to do the same thing, and it, having an understanding of what our thought process is here would be helpful to them, I think, anyway. So in my opinion, I would prefer to I think we should include it as it is with that, and then again add the caveat that they may want to consider a rule change.
Again, how would that caveat be said again?
I think maybe we can work on the wordsmithing of that, but I think it would basically say that it may involve reconsidering not only the time frame but then possibly the standard. Is it too high or too low or whatnot? Just that they need to acknowledge that it would help acknowledge the fact that there are concerns
of the public
and their health, either the health and safety or the and I don't want to begin to interpret some of the things that go into when they're doing the application for site and facility. I think some of those some of those determinations are made during that process as to what's considered a health risk versus just an annoyance or something like that.
And it would be up to the full committee to possibly hire an expert to check the noises. Okay. If they wanted to.
I think that, that would be more of our, I think we're talking, you're talking the charge two more, right?
Yes, okay.
The subcommittee still is tasked with doing that. We still have to investigate the noise complaints, but I think without getting an indication of what the full SEC thinks and whether or not they agree with our recommendations or not is going to be very important for us to move forward with charges two and three. Did you have any questions, John?
No, I just think you should proceed to a motion. And see if you get a second. You guys vote on what you want to recommend. Any changes you want to make, and just have a vote on it.
I guess I don't always want to be the one to do the first motion, but so. I'll do my best, but I would like to motion to adopt this recommendation, but add in maybe say a fourth bullet to that page 23 that kind of also includes a recommendation to consider whether or not the full SEC feels it would be appropriate to do a rulemaking which would reconsider the noise levels, the time frame and whatnot, just to provide complete clarity and hopefully get it such that it's addressed the needs of the facility as well as the public.
I would second that.
So, with that, my vote would be would be yes on that motion.
And John Dickel votes no.
And Tom Eaton votes yes.
So with that, the motion is passed with a vote of two yeas and one nay.
And we'll work on the wording and put that out a little bit later.
Yep. This, are you?
Well, yeah, so you want to work, maybe the presiding officer is going to work on some language, and then that language, referencing what you just said in the motion,
yep,
that language will be added to the recommendation and transmitted to the full committee. Is that what you're talking about?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Does that... that sound like what your interpretation is?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What about you, John? Again, I don't want to be taking any testimony for the remainder. If you have issues, I think at this point that the
it's not the way to vote. I was hoping that Mr. Nicholas's position would also be
I mean, it'll be part of the minutes and whatnot. So.
And don't forget, you can submit written comments. You can submit a written comment. Submit a written comment. You can submit a written comment as well.
Will we get a transcript of this meeting?
No, there'll be a recording. And I believe we still plan on posting those eventually. It takes a little while to process, though. So, all right. I do want to kind of wrap this meeting up. It's been a long meeting. I think I believe that I got. I'm trying to find my. Paper. Where we're at with the next steps in the investigative plan. Oh, here it is. Committee will hold. So I guess really at this point, I think what we need to do, we can probably start considering at the very least, a site visit. I would like to get out there in advance of really making much considerations into the, once we start working on the complaints. I do think we need a response back from the full SEC on our recommendation before we can really get too much into charge two. But I do think while we're waiting for that, I think we could work on scheduling a site visit. I don't have my calendar up in front of me, but my feeling is that probably sometime, I mean, we're already the second week into August, but hopefully sometime within the next 3 weeks or something like that, we might be able to find a time that we could all go out. I believe that would, since it would be a, the three of us would all be there, it would have to be a public meeting, correct? So we'll work on scheduling a time for that that I think works for everybody. I would say though that we may need to, that might be somewhat weather dependent. So we may need to have kind of a rain date, basically, something like that might be a good idea.
Out of rain for weather like that.
Yeah, fire up the weather machine.
I think we'd also like to. View the facility, but also, two of the residences that we're monitoring readings were taken and things of that nature. So we got to lay at the land and idea what the reports are actually telling us. And obviously, we need authority by the facility, but we usually on SEC site visits we invite the public too. I don't know if that's a concern by anyone, but. it's kind of like a public hearing where we would notice it and invite the public, correct?
Yes. And I most definitely want to visit the house site visits if we could, several of them.
Yeah, so that'll be contingent on the homeowners obviously getting permission. So I guess what you do in your public notice, you outline what you want to do with the site visit and the time and place or whatever, and then the presiding officer or me or Michael, we could try to arrange that with that particular homeowner. And if it doesn't work out, if they don't get permission, then we'll just have to change that.
Right.
Send a revised notice out or something like that.
I don't think I want to request requests for or put out a posting that says if you'd like to visit my home. I think we'd end up, we'd spend weeks out there going to different people's houses. I think one or two would give us an idea of. So I think maybe we can look at where some of the old measurements were taken or something like that, and then pick one or two and then work with that property owner to see if we could visit their home.
Yeah, there's several areas where measurements are made for noise compliance monitoring and where complaints are, and so you can choose among those as the subcommittee wants.
Yep. All right. I don't know if we need to. The other thing, I guess, is addressed as Attorney Brooks mentioned, the lighting. I don't know if there's something that would benefit us to discuss now since we're in a meeting regarding the lighting.
Let's have this question of Attorney Edelman. Has the final report on the updates to the ADR system been finalized through Infomin?
Would you mind approaching the microphone, please? And tell you who you are for the record.
Good afternoon. I'm Tom Getz. I'm an attorney for McLean Middleton, representing Antrim Wind. So with respect to the ADLS issues, the report by Terma, the manufacturer, is not complete yet. They have been, for June and July, compiling the raw data that Mr. Brooks talked about in terms of when the lights are on and off. And I know you have the letter from Mr.
Yes, I know which one you're talking about.
You have a letter in the record. Yep. About the ADLS and that the lights complain about the amount of time the lights are on. So we've provided some of the raw data just yesterday to Mr. Brooks, and I believe a copy was sent by Transall to the town and to Chairwoman Martin. We can make sure that gets to the subcommittee, and I assume it will anyways through the chairwoman. But the full report by Terma is not complete, and I don't have a date on that when that will be made available yet.
Okay. And
given
the raw data, are we seeing improvement or status quo type of thing?
The way that it's been characterized to me by the experts for TransAlta is you have less variation in the time when the lights are on and off, but the data for June and July still shows that the lights are on between 40% and 50% of the time. Now, whether there's the background to show exactly when there were aircraft in that would have triggered that, or whether the lights are still being triggered by other causes, that I don't have the answer to.
Is it possible for you guys to compile that information and forward it along so you can look at the amount of time that the lights are on and whether there's actually aircraft there?
We can show you the time where the lights are on and off and how much percentage-wise over the night, and there's a bar graph that's been developed that can tell you when it's on and off. But when it is triggered by aircraft and or other reasons, I don't know the answer to that. But, you know, presumably when the term or report is available, we'll have a better handle on that than I do.
You said 40 to 45% of the time they're on still?
Yes.
Okay, that just seems a higher number than I think the SEC was looking for in the review of the lights being off far more than on. The ADLS system was going to ensure that was going to happen. So that still identifies, I think, a problem with the LDLS system, in my mind. But there isn't a standard, per se, in the certificate that says, you know, you're looking at 5% or 3%, or only when air traffic is in the vicinity, or there's problems in the system which requires the lights to be on full time for health and safety reasons. So,
in the underlying proceeding, I think the focus was on a proposal to install an ADLS system as soon as it was approved by the FAA. I'm not aware that it actually went beyond any inquiry into what the numbers would or should be and for that area, but that just that when an ADLS system was available, that it be installed. And, of course, the company working with its manufacturer is, and then the whole point of the period that was before in May was to perform the upgrades to try to get the system working in, you know, the most efficient way that it can. So I hope to have a direct answer on when that report will be available as soon as possible.
Okay. Thank you for the update. All right. I think with that, I guess basically we need to wait till we get that final report till we can really work on that. But we'll consider that. I guess I don't know if there's any.
Charge two allows you to do the investigation while the ultimately, you know, considers recommendation on charge one. So you do have investigatory tools, and you are charged with doing it under, you know, the investigatory plan you're going to do.
Yep.
So there are things you can do to investigate that interim.
Okay.
Okay. So we can talk about that, you know, separate in an attorney-client.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Did anybody else have anything else before we adjourn?
Good.
Okay. Tom? All right. Either of you two? Okay. All right. Then we'll adjourn the meeting at approximately 1 o'clock. All right. Thank you, everybody.
You could put in a recommendation that the main SEC committee would answer the question, and we knew the lights were going to be on most of the time if they have approved the facility.